next Wednesday, I'll be away at a meeting, and so Bellis will be teaching the class, and sure, he'll do a great job. So make sure that you come prepared for the class like you have been doing on how you would give an answer. And again, the Bible admonishes us to be ready always to give an answer, 1 Peter 3:15, which is our key verse for this quarter. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to study the Bible. And you may be sitting in the assembly in our Bible class, and you may say, you know what, when I listened to other people, I didn't get all those references. And that's okay, because I really wanted this quarter to be designed in such a way that we learn from one another. There may be verses that you hear others bring up that do answer these religious errors that you didn't think about. And you may have some that others didn't think about, and so you feel free to share those and make you some notes on your handout. So this first sheet, which is seven religious errors, have to do with common things that you and I, we've heard. Individuals in the religious world make these arguments, and it's error. It's not in harmony with what the Bible teaches, and we need to be able to help them see the truth and to give an answer. And so we've covered every one of these down to verse 6. The last one we covered was number 5, which was Sunday, on "It makes no difference what the sign says above the door." Tonight we're going to talk about, first of all, number 6. And I'm not going to write these up here, just so you have them on your sheet. When individuals say, in essence, every church has people who are saved. Or they may frame it this way: well, I believe there's saved people in every church. And what they're saying is, and again, you've really got to remember how they're using the word church, and help them see, best you can when you talk with them, opportunity and time permitted, how the Bible uses the word church. When they say, "I believe that there's saved people in every church," how are they using the word church?
Every denomination.
I believe that there's saved people in every denomination. Is in essence what they're saying. That doesn't matter where you go, I believe there's people that are saved in any of them. And so, obviously, that's not in harmony with what the Bible teaches, and you've got to help them see that. So I'm interested in knowing from you, as I am in every Bible class this quarter, on how you would give an answer to that. How would you help them to see that's not the case? Now remember, you're dealing with people who believe it with every fiber of their being that they are a Christian. Just like you believe with every fiber of your being. You know you've obeyed the gospel of Christ. You know you're a Christian. Well, they believe it too. But they don't know the scriptures when it comes to these things. And so we're wanting to kindly help them to see it. So what do you have on your paper?
But God,
have to teach them. And I will say with that, Johnny, I make mention from time to time that I can't put it any better than the Holy Spirit did. And so if the very Word of God, which pricks the hearts of individuals, the Gospel, Acts 2 verse 36, doesn't convince them, guess what? I'm not going to convince you. You have to be willing to be open to the truth. So how would you answer that? That there's good in every church.
I know they are.
They are good people.
Okay, let me try. That there are saved in every church.
They're not saved, but they're not.
So how would you deal with that? Well, okay, we say, well, there's not. And so our word's not good enough. And we know that, but we're going to go to the Bible, and we need to be able to show them that the Bible shows that there are not saved people in every denomination. So
I don't know where to go to the Bible, but I can get somebody to show to it.
Okay. And that's what this class is about. That's fine, John, is to be able to say, hey, you know, I'm not sure how I would deal with that. I'm going to make me some notes, and next time I'll be prepared to give an answer. That's what this whole quarter's designed to do. Phyllis?
I do have a question, though. I had this very conversation with a cousin of mine, and I didn't quite know how to answer him, but, you know, know, when you first are saved, for lack of better terms, I mean, there are a couple churches that do baptize for the remission of sins, like the Christian church. So if somebody was maybe new in the church and just learning, I'm just curious if there's maybe a grace period, so to speak, where not even in the Church of Christ you have some that were on milk that needed to get on meat because they were still in the learning process.
Okay. You remind me of that, I do. And I made myself a note, so let's finish this one and we'll come back to that. It's a good question. It's a valid question.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that. So how do you deal with that? Let me ask you this. Did anyone put anything on their paper?
I did. Mine's at a college. 1 Corinthians 12, 12.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, 13.
12, 12, 12, 13, one body.
Okay.
Ephesians 5, 23.
Which is, establishes, what's that about? See, Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. The body, not a body, but the body. And you'll notice as we go through many of them, sometimes these references overlap. There are some references that you might use on this one that you could use on the next one. And so you need to make you some notes. Commit the best you can to memory some of these passages. Make some notes in your Bible if you're marking in your Bible.
Romans 12.
Okay, what's that about?
Verses 4 and 5. It talks about many members but in one body.
Okay.
Ephesians 4.
And Ephesians 4. Is it 5?
Yeah, verse 4.
One body, 4. Did you say 1, 22, and 23? That identifies what the body is. And these passages, you can help them to see that the Bible teaches, as we've already nailed down pretty tight so far in our study, that there is but one body. There is but one church.
We have to obey the way to get into the church by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized.
Okay. That's the only way that you can enter into the body. And again, I know that you're going to run into folks who say, well, I understand that. I agree with every passage that you just put on the board. I agree with everything that there is one body, that Jesus is the Savior of the body, but I believe that what? Well, they say, we've already talked about this.
Denominations make up.
Yeah, I believe that all churches, all denominations make up that one body of the New Testament, and that's not the case. A very simple thing to ask him is, where is the book, the chapter, and the verse that talks about a denomination or the church of which they're a member of? The Bible only talks about the Lord's church, which is, and I say it without hesitation, the church of Christ. That's just what the Bible presents. And so, every church has people who are saved. Well, as I think as Janet pointed out, here's what you have to do in order to be saved. They don't do that in the denominational world. No, I taught the truth. Let me ask you this. Who is a pillar and the ground of the truth?
Jesus Christ.
The church. 1 Timothy 3:15 talks about, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Well, what church is he talking about? The Lord's church is a pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, can that be said about any church other than the Lord's church? Yes or no?
No.
Now, does that mean that there's churches out here that don't say some things that are true? Well, sure they do. But you've got to remember that if you take truth and you pervert it, you no longer have truth. Right? Galatians chapter 1. Say it again, Jane.
We're not to be divided, we're to speak the same thing.
1 Corinthians 1. 10, and a lot of other passages talk about the fact that unity is a beautiful thing, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Any other ways in which you would deal with that? And Lisa, you may have a study with individuals, and you may go through all these things, and at the end of the study, they may say, I believe all those references, but I just don't buy that the Church of Christ is the only church. And it comes down, at the end of the day, individuals, including us, will make the decision as to what we're going to do with truth. Right? You agree? Anyone want to add anything to this?
Yeah, I read those men in the Bible I worked with one time, Dan Forbidden, and after I read it, in John, Christ, he told the crowd about, you know, being born again. He told me he let me know what he did, and it was back what that Bible said. He knew what he believed.
Bellis asked about other bodies that baptize for various reasons. I know that there are churches, some Baptist churches. So we baptize for the remission of sins. One of the most effective things you can do to deal with that is just to point out to them that the Bible talks about that there is one, as we just mentioned, one body. We all agree on that? One body.
Yeah.
How do I get into that one body? First Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body, the church. So I ask you, whatever church you want to talk about, the Baptist church, is the Baptist church, and just ask them, is the Baptist church the one body of the New Testament? Yes or no?
No.
So were individuals who did this very thing, were they baptized into the Baptist church? No. What about the Lutheran Church? Is it the Church of the New Testament?
No.
Well, is the Church of Christ the Church of which he's talking about?
Yes.
When individuals obeyed in Acts chapter 2, what did they hear? They heard the gospel. They believed it and they obeyed it. And as a result of that, the Lord added them, where at? To the church. It makes no difference if you're talking about the Catholic Church or the Presbyterian Church or the Methodist Church or the Christian Church. Are they the pillar and the ground of the truth?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Does the Lord then add you when you're in these to the one body of the New Testament? That's simple. Huh? Any questions about that? Does the Baptist teach some things that are true?
Yes.
Luther? Catholic? Methodist? Does the Christian church teach some things that are true?
Yeah.
But ask it, do they teach the gospel of Christ? No, none of them do. Now, they may teach some things that are in harmony with the Bible, right? But they don't teach the gospel, which is the one gospel of the New Testament. If they did, guess what? They wouldn't be in here. They'd obey the truth, and they'd be in the one body of the New Testament, just the way that you get into the one body of the New Testament. I don't know how to make it more claim that the one body of the New Testament is the Church of Christ. These denominations are not the Church of Christ. And you can only get into the body by obeying the gospel the same way that they did in the New Testament to obey the gospel.
No, I think there could be those who they obey the gospel for the right reason. They're baptized for that. After that, separate from that, comes the doctrine. It's separate.
Well, I think you pretty much answered what I was talking about. But me and my cousin were talking. He's like, well, what if you're baptized for remission of sins, which you just answered. answered, I think, but it's like, would you have this period of learning before you have maybe, you know, had a chance?
Here's what you have to do with that, Bill, is go back to New Testament times.
Yeah.
And ask yourself, was there anybody who entered into the body of Christ through any of these man-made religions?
No.
No. Is there any difference, going back to what Greg said, between doctrine and teaching? No. They're the one and the same. The doctrine of Christ is the teaching of Christ, which is the Word of God, the Gospel. Acts 13. And so, you cannot be taught wrong and baptized right. There's not a doubt in my mind, and I've not asked everyone, but I've asked a few folks that I've studied with along the way. When you were baptized, what church did you believe you were being baptized into? You know what they say? The church they were going to. And then you can ask them, do you believe the church of which you're a member of is the one body of the New Testament? You know what they'll say most of the time? Yes. The Lutheran church believes with all their heart that they're the one body of the New Testament. All of these do, or they won't be there. But the issue is that they're not.
But right now, I'll tell you what's good. I've told other preachers this. You can get a real smart man standing up over where you're standing, and if you ain't got a bunch like this in there, he can change some minds. Have you ever read the Baptist Creed?
I've read some, not the whole thing.
I have. And it said that here's what the Bible says, but here's what it really means. It's a whole different thing. So, you know, but people believe the preachers.
I don't think you get any more simplified than that. That there's one body, which is a church. When you obey the gospel of Christ, after hearing the gospel, the truth, that the Lord adds you to the body of the saved. And I tell folks, He won't make a mistake and add you to the wrong one. So why be in the wrong one? Obey the truth. Someone says, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know. I obeyed the only thing that I knew. And where I was going is where that's all I knew, and I thought that was right. Well, when you learn the truth, what do you do? When I learn the truth, what do I need to do?
Obey
the truth. And so, it may be hard. So, I just don't know. What do you have to lose? Honestly, you're studying with someone, and they say, look, I attend the Baptist church. We baptize for the remission of sins. And yes, I've talked to Baptists who said it. We had a study with Mormons who said we baptize for the remission of sins. Now, when you pin them down on it, they believe there are some exclusions to that. But they believe that too. So you're studying with a Mormon. They say we baptize for the remission of sins. What do you say? Is that okay?
No.
Are they in the one body?
No.
No. So here's what you say. You say, well, what do you have to lose? If you are baptized again, having learned the truth, and you didn't need to do it, you lost nothing by doing it. Did you? But if you learn the truth, and you realize, listen, I needed to do it, and you don't do it, you got a lot to lose. You have nothing to lose. By learning the truth, knowing the truth, and obeying the truth. But all of us have everything to lose by not doing it. And so you're studying with someone, they say, well, what should I do? Just encourage them to start anew, having learned the truth. And they take care of that. And by the way, better remove any doubt that they may have in their mind as to whether or not they were baptized for the right reasons into the right church. They'll never doubt that anymore once they learn the truth. Now, I've had people in this column who have doubted it, but I've never had anyone in this column doubt it, in this circle. Now, they may have doubted. The only time I've had anyone really doubt it from this point is if they felt like they were too young. Or maybe they didn't know. They didn't do it a lot. But they never doubt anything as far as the one body of the New Testament. Anyone have anything to add that can maybe simplify it?
Has to be a church without blemish.
Yeah, we have to obey the truth. Again, I give you that passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 15. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. These don't have the authority of heaven. They even exist. So I ask you, is there salvation in them?
No.
Now, someone says, but now wait a minute, I don't believe there's salvation. I'm just talking about members. Let me ask you a question. Are we in fellowship with any denomination?
No.
No. Then on what basis can you fellowship the members? Anyone? If you say we're not fellowship with the church, that church, then how can you fellowship the members? You've got to teach them truth so they'll obey the truth. All right, moving on. Number 7. The Church of Christ, and here's one we hear often too, the Church of Christ will not be the only church in heaven. Or someone puts it this way. You know what? You folks think that you're the only ones going to be in heaven. How do you answer that?
I say no, we're not the only ones. Thanks we're in heaven. We're the ones that thanks we have to do what we've been told and then we'll go.
Okay. Let me encourage you, and that's good, very good, Rose. Let me encourage you to always pay attention to what they're asking you. Because there is a difference in saying, well, you folks think you're the only ones going to be in heaven, and saying, you think the Church of Christ is the only church that is going to be in heaven. I read in the New Testament about an individual who the Lord says, at least in the kingdom of God, is greater than John the Baptist. How was that the case? He was in the church. So when someone says, well, you folks believe that you're the only ones going to heaven, no, we don't believe that. I believe that Matthew 17 teaches that Elijah, Moses was there, or at least glorified with the Lord, and glory transfigured, the Lord was with him. Abraham, all of those that you read about in Hebrews chapter 13, of which, or 11, verse 13 says, these all died in faith. I believe all of those people are going to be there. So notice what, but the question that I put on here, the religious area, is the Church of Christ will not be the only church in heaven. Is that truth or error?
It will be the only church.
Wait, who said truth? Did somebody say, I heard a truth? All right. Did you just misunderstand what it was? The error is the Church of Christ will not be the only one, which is implying that other churches will be in heaven in the denominational world. What's that word, other? It is true that the Church of Christ is the only church that is going to be in heaven. Now, how do we know that, Greg?
A verse we're getting, Ephesians 4. One body.
One body. The Lord, again, Acts 2:47, the Lord added to
the church.
Now, that's the church of which is the body of the saved. Ephesians chapter 4, or 5, verse 23, He's the Savior of the body. He's not the Savior of any denomination, but He is the Savior of the church. Is that right? And so, what church is going to be in heaven? His church, the Lord's church. And if you're not in that church, then you won't go to heaven. That's simple.
If you could feed the rest of them in the old Bible, they'll be feeding the old Bible. You still be in heaven, but now there'll be a lot of that too. You know, when God done work for people and told them what to do, like Moses and them people, they won't get healed, I believe.
That's why there's a difference in saying that you're the only ones and only church. Be careful what they're asking and answer directly what they're asking. And all of this is, how do we do this? What's our motive and our disposition in doing it?
We want to try to teach somebody without making them mad if we can. But a lot of times I will say, if somebody said that, I'll be like, well, we believe that you have to do what the Bible says to get to heaven. We think that's what the Church of Christ is doing.
We want to speak the Word of God in love and in kindness. And we don't say any of these things with a haughty attitude or a mean-spirited attitude, but we want to go to heaven in the afterlife. We want them to go to heaven. in the after while. And make no mistake about it, if we don't open the truth, we're not going to go to heaven. And if they don't know the truth so that they can obey it, they're not going to go to heaven. You think we have any responsibility in teaching them the truth?
Yeah.
Absolutely do. All right. The Church of Christ will not be the only church in heaven. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:24 is a good passage for that. Then cometh the end when he shall have put down all rule and authority and so forth, and shall have delivered up the kingdom. Right? Yeah. Well, it says the kingdom. What is that in reference to? Someone says, well, there he's talking about heaven. Well, that won't make sense. Well, how would he deliver up heaven to the Father? Sometimes the word kingdom, it can be in reference to heaven, sometimes in rule or authority, and sometimes the church. There's examples of each of those in the New Testament, by the way. Anyone want to add anything to number 7? We have not much time, but we've got just a few minutes to start on your new sheet, which is in the back. You should have that. When I asked about is that on church or salvation, I put the little titles right here. We'll have a sheet, Lord willing, dealing with final things and on the Word of God. And I want to separate these based. There'll be over 30 of them or so, based upon the subjects. When it comes to salvation, being saved from one's sins, someone may exclaim, one can be saved without being baptized. Well, that should be a fairly easy one for us. But how would you deal with that? What are some references you might show them? Those who are here that's obeyed the gospel, you were baptized, and so surely you know some reasons why you were baptized.
You're to believe you were baptized.
Yeah.
Mark 16:16.
Okay. So we're starting over number 1. Bell says Mark 16:16, which the Lord said.
Acts 22:16, arise and wash away your sins.
What did Mark 16:16 say?
He that believeth and is baptized will be saved, he that believeth not will be condemned.
The Lord's command. Huh? I'll put here a point at which washing away of sins takes place. Right? Acts 22:16, and John just said Acts 2:38 for remission. The reason I like this approach is because you're just simply pointing out to them scriptural reasons as to why be baptized, what baptism accomplishes and what it does. It's not just for the remission of sins, but look what the Lord commanded. It's the point at which our sins are remitted by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5, for the remission of sins. Acts 10:48, it is a command. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they prayed him to tarry certain days. Romans 6:1-6 are into the death of Christ by baptism, right? We can arise to walk in newness of life. 1 Corinthians 12:13, that's how we enter into the one body of the New Testament.
Acts 22:16.
Galatians 3:26-27. That's how we get into Christ. Colossians 2:12. We're buried with Christ by baptism. Baptism, according to 1 Peter 3, and then verse 21, baptism saves.
John 3:5, I think.
Being born again?
Yeah.
That's accomplished by the Word of God, 1 Peter 1, 18 through 25. Obey. So someone says, well, now I believe I'd be saved without it. Well, then you'd be saved without keeping the Lord's command, without the washing away of your sins, without the remission of them, without keeping the commandments, without being in the death of His Christ, without being in the body, without being in Christ, without being buried with Him, without being born again, which is by the word of God. And then when you obey, it includes baptism. And again, you're saying you can go to heaven without being saved because baptism saves. We'll stop there. Maybe if Bellis would like, however he wants to handle it, he'll be your teacher next Wednesday. He can either start with this one and you can add some things after you've had some time to think about it, and then begin with number 2 and cover as many as he would like to cover. I appreciate your good attention.